You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, if you've ever wondered how fireworks are created, we'll share the science behind those pyrotechnics. First, freshman Congressman Mike Gallagher is a Republican from Green Bay. He hasn't been on the job very long, but has already gotten attention for a bill he introduced that targets Congress itself. The bill would cancel Congress's legislative recess if it failed to pass a budget. Last week, Gallagher said again that Congress should not go on its August recess if it doesn't pass a budget in that time. Here's a clip from a speech on the House floor.
In 7 weeks, we're going to adjourn on a month-long vacation without reforming the tax code or getting our appropriations done. And just 30 days after returning from the August recess, if we don't make some hard choices, the government may shut down, cutting our constituents from access to the programs they depend on for their livelihoods. So my message is simple. Let's work through the August recess, because in what other job would you grant yourself a month off if you hadn't gotten your work done?
Christina Marcos is a staff writer for The Hill and covers the House, and she joins us now to tell us more. Christina, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you, too. And we just heard a little bit of Representative Gallagher speaking last week, but this is not the first time he has called to cancel a recess. What other opportunities has he taken to make that case?
He's a freshman, of course, and so it seems his main message when he's come to the floor in his first several months in office has been, hey, we shouldn't go home just yet because we still have work to do. So this is something that he's been bringing up for a lot in the last several months, but leadership, of course, has still been sending members home for their regular recess weeks.
And what kind of reception does this kind of firebrand talk get in Congress, changing the way that things are done?
Well, what's interesting is that this sort of rhetoric of we should stay in town to get the people's work done, that's something you usually hear from someone in the minority party. So it's really unusual to hear that from someone in the majority. And there, it's more than just Congressman Gallagher who's been bringing up this message. Several House Republicans and Senate Republicans have been calling on their leadership in recent weeks to stay at least through part of August because they don't feel like they're getting much progress on their agenda at the moment.
So is there a chance that that could actually happen?
It's not. Nothing's impossible, of course, but it's an annual tradition in Congress to take the month off, and it's not as if members of Congress are going to the beach for an entire month. That's not accurate. I mean, they do schedule various events back in their districts and states, and international trips abroad with other members of Congress. These things are scheduled months ahead of time. So if they were actually cut off part of the August break, there are all sorts of pre-scheduled activities and meetings that they have that they would have to reschedule.
Now, Representative Gallagher is early, as we said, in his congressional career. Does this kind of advocacy that he's making for Congress to keep working and that high-profile demands that he's making, does that indicate anything about his reputation in Congress or what we might expect from him, do you think?
Well, he's clearly someone who wants to shake up the status quo. A lot of members of Congress, they come in wanting to do things. They want to get things done for their constituents. And so it's frustrating, especially for someone who's brand new to this job, to see that it actually takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to get much of anything done around here, especially when Congress is so gridlocked like it is today.
Now, typically, as I understand it, there might be a House budget resolution by April 2nd. It's almost July, though, and House Republicans still struggling to pass a budget and start the reconciliation process. What do we know about what's holding them up?
It's the same fight that's held up Republicans for years. There are some more moderate Republicans who don't want to impose huge cuts to domestic programs, like, for example, food stamps or other programs for public housing, things like that. And then you also have the faction of Republicans, the defense hawks, who want more funding for defense spending. And then you have the conservatives who want to cut spending across the board, across the federal government. So it's very hard to get a compromise that satisfies all three of those factions. And so what we're seeing right now is that they're unable to find at least even a baseline number that they can all agree upon. And that's therefore holding up the rest of their agenda on tax reform. And keeping the government open.
Now, the Freedom Caucus had been pretty active when it came to sounding off on the health care bill in the House. Where does the Freedom Caucus stand on the budget?
They are calling for deep cuts to domestic spending because they insist, well, surely there's something that we can cut somewhere. But they're encountering resistance from members of the House Appropriations Committee who are trying to explain to them, well, it's not really that easy that we could do something like that.
We are talking to Christina Marcos right now, staff writer for The Hill, and she's joining us to talk about the House budget process. Also, we've been talking about Congressman Mike Gallagher, a Republican from Green Bay, who called for Congress to cancel its legislative recess if the House doesn't pass a budget. And as you were getting at, Christina, a recent blueprint of the budget would boost defense spending, cut millions from entitlements and welfare programs. Who would be on board with that in the House?
Well, President Trump's budget actually fell along those lines, and he proposed some very steep cuts to domestic programs like public housing and a whole host of other things. So they probably could find an ally in President Trump, but he's not really very involved in these negotiations at the moment.
And Speaker Paul Ryan, also from Wisconsin, has said that passing the budget is necessary to reform the tax code. How does the tax code end up getting rolled into the budget in Paul Ryan's version of things?
Well, because Republicans are trying to pass tax reform in the same way they are with health care, which is through this process in the Senate where they can avoid a filibuster from Democrats. So by using this procedure called reconciliation, they only need a simple majority to pass it. And since that will only require a simple majority, but it has to apply to with a budget. And so they need to pass a budget first in order to get tax reform rolling using that procedure. They could, of course, pass tax reform without this reconciliation process, but they would need help from Democrats.
Right, and does that look like a possible option at all? Are there Democrats who are interested in working across the aisle like that?
There's actually some more appetite from Democrats on tax reform because there are a lot of business-minded, more centrist Democrats who genuinely do want to see some changes with the tax code. You're not going to see that kind of help on health care because Democrats have uniformly taken a position that they're not going to work with Republicans unless Republicans agree to drop talk of repeal.
And so, Christina, as we said, the clock is ticking on this. What do you see as the next moves for Republicans?
Well, when they come back, because right now, this week they're off back in their districts for the Independence Day holiday. When they come back, they're only here for 3 more weeks before they're scheduled to leave for the 5-week-long August break. So they've got there's passing a budget that they'd like to do before they leave, potentially raising the debt ceiling. And in the Senate, they're really hoping to get this health care bill done so they can move on to tax reform.
And do you see any kind of collateral damage in the public eye that Republicans, they're the majority party in Congress now, and yet they're still having such a hard time even within the party grappling with these different positions? Do you see the public having a negative perception that there could be some cost to having this trouble working things out and being a leading party?
Absolutely. I mean, Republicans spent the entirety of President Obama's terms in office saying, well, we did have Republican control of the House, the Senate, and the White House in order to accomplish our priorities. And they've been handed that opportunity, and they still aren't having trouble moving their priorities through Congress. But the reality is we've seen over the last several years that Republicans are a very fractured party. And as I referenced earlier, what they're trying to accommodate these three different factions among House Republicans to reach an agreement on the budget. It's been that way since President Obama came into office, and they're still the same fractured party as they were. They just also have President Trump in the White House. It doesn't mean they're any better at reaching agreements among themselves.
Christina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Christina Marcos, staff writer for The Hill, and she joined us to talk about Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican from Green Bay, talking also about the House's Republican struggle to pass a budget.